I want to share a thought with you that's not my own. It's from a guy named Leonard Ravenhill. And you might be going, Leonard Ravenhill, who is that? Well, that is the guy that was just on that soundbite of the video clip that we just showed. And so I just want to share with you this thought. He said, it's been said that the self-satisfied don't need to pray. The self-sufficient don't want to pray. And the self-righteous cannot pray. But the man who realizes he needs something outside of anything that is human bathes his soul in prayer. Let's pray. God, there is so much that we need to understand about you and even understand about prayer. And God, as we just take and open up our hearts, I pray that our minds would be open as well and that we would really be just like your disciples that were hungry and had this desire to learn how to pray. God, whether we're people that we're here right now and that we've been a believer for a while and we've just trusted you for a while, God, whether we're brand new to the faith or maybe there's even just somebody here that they're just going, I'm not even sure what I believe. I'm just kind of here and observing right now. God, I pray that you would help every one of us, no matter where we're at in our journey, to understand more about who you are and how it is that you desire for us to be connected relationally with you and what this thing, prayer, is and how you really want us to use it. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So as we started this series, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, we began to look at this and look at this because there were disciples of Jesus, these learners, these students of Jesus, and they had seen and observed and watched Jesus pray, and there was something about the way that he prayed that was different than the way that they prayed, and there was something that they must have seen that they went, I want to know how to pray like you, Jesus. And so one of his disciples approached him and said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And so he did, and he gave them a model. And as we looked at this last week, we looked at four things that Jesus knew. He knew a whole lot of things. There's things that he knew that we might not ever know on this side of eternity. But we looked at four things that he knew that really shaped how he prayed. And so we looked at how he knew that our is a bigger family, that when we were taught how to pray, we need to pray our Father in heaven, that our is a bigger family. And inside of this model prayer that we were given, there's no personal pronouns. There's nothing about I and me and mine and It's our and us and we. And so when we look at this, we get to see that our is a bigger family. And that's what this prayer thing is meant to be part of, a bigger family. That we looked at what Jesus knew and we saw that we could never outgrow God. That there's different relationships, different friendships, maybe different even within our family, different within our workplaces. There's these relationships that we might outgrow, but we never outgrow God, that we always need him. That one of the things that Jesus knew is he knew that prayer, it produces a heart-centric relationship. That, yeah, it's great to be able to get in God's word and read that, and we absolutely need that. But if it stops there, then it just becomes this knowledge thing. But when we pray with this understanding scripturally of who God is, that it produces a heart centric relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the fourth thing that Jesus knew is that God shapes life through prayer. That he does, he takes and he shapes life through prayer. When we look at Jesus, we look at, here's this one that knew God the most, and yet he prayed the most. That we look at Jesus and we see that prayer was too big of a deal for him to give it just a tiny amount of his time. And so those are things that we looked at last week as we looked at this model that Jesus had given us for prayer. And so today we're going to begin to look at another aspect of this. And I want you to look at this on the screen and see, is this what we're going to talk about? So we're going to talk about this. And I just wonder as you read that, I wonder where you put the emphasis. I wonder when you look at that, what is it that you begin to think about when it comes to prayer? This praying out of control. I wonder where you put that emphasis. Do you look at that and you go, praying out of control, and you kind of emphasize that the out part, that you're out of control, and since you're out of control, you're like going, hey, God, I'm going to beg you. I'm going to plead with you. I'm at your mercy. God, will you please? Is that where you're at with your prayer life? Or are you at a different place with your prayer life that you look at this and you go, praying out of control? And so the way that you end up praying your prayers is just you try to control or manipulate God into doing these things that God needs to do and ought to do. And when he doesn't do them, that you threaten him and go, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore, or I'm not going to read your Bible anymore, or I'm not going to follow. Well, do you pray out of control and that's where your emphasis is? And so it's like, I'm begging, I'm pleading, or do you pray out of control and you're doing all of these things within your prayer life trying to control what God is doing? We all need to pray out of control prayers, not to seize control, but to submit and surrender it. That we would go, hey, I'm going to surrender control instead of trying to seize it. That this is what we need to learn and understand about prayer, that our relationship with God, it would radically change. That the way that we use prayer, if we use prayer to surrender control instead of trying to seize it. Because many of us, when we look at how we pray and how we're utilizing that prayer time and what it is that we're saying to God and asking of God, is we just keep trying to seize control. We begin to tell God what we need and what we want and what we crave, what we desire and what we see is best. And we just kind of tell God all these things and we ask him to come through and deliver on that. And it's us trying to seize control when it comes to our prayer life. And instead, what if we could get to this place with our prayer life where we would surrender control to God? Say, God, I'm going to give you control and I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to try to control things and I'm not going to try to control. I want to give it back over to you whom I trust. Do you ever find prayer difficult? Just difficult to pray. That sometimes it's difficult because it's just difficult for us to make it the priority that it needs to be. And so we find difficulty there. Maybe we find prayer difficult because we go, hey, we really don't even know what to pray for. Sometimes we know what to pray for. We don't know, well, how do I need to go about praying for that? Maybe an aspect of prayer that we find difficult is being patient. That we pray and we share this with God. And then the difficult part is being patient as we wait for God to answer us. That prayer, it can be difficult. It can be difficult to just be still and to trust that God is sovereign when we look at our prayer life. I think when it comes to prayer, there are two basic questions that we consider when it comes to prayer. And these aren't going to be on the screen, so you note takers just need to know, okay, take a note. But there are two basic questions that we look at when it comes to prayer. I think one of those questions is can God? That's one of our questions, is can God? And so when we're looking at our prayer life and we're praying and we begin to question, we begin to ask, well, can God do that? Can God come through? Can God deliver? And so that's one of those questions. And I think this is a question that we actually answered last week. We answered this last week when we looked at this and we said, God is all loving, he is all knowing, and he is all powerful. That's who God is, that he is all loving, he is all knowing, and he is all powerful. I even shared this thought with you, that if God is not all loving, all knowing, and all powerful, then why would we bother praying to him? Would prayer really even matter if he is not all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful? And when we look at that and understand that, what we begin to see and understand about our God is that he is a God who is willing, he is wise, and he is able. And so when you become a believer and you trust God and you trust Jesus, the answer to this first question is can God? The answer to that question becomes a very simple yes once you believe God. Yes. Yes, God can. Which brings us to the second question. And the second question is where those of us who are believers, that we get to this question and we go, this is the one that we wrestle with. This is the one that we're just uncertain about. The can, yeah, we know he can. But it's this question. And what's the question? It's, will God? Yeah. It's will God. That's the question for us that we're like going, yeah, but will God? And anything short of a clear yes or a clear no still leaves us wondering, okay, well, will God? And here's the thing about our spiritual hearing abilities. That spiritually, we have a very hard time hearing God say no. We do. We're like, he still hadn't answered. I'm still waiting for an answer. And he said, it doesn't matter how loudly he says it. We still have a hard time hearing no. But God can whisper a yes. Yes. Oh, he said, yeah. We're like, instantly, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we got it. The clear yeses, we understand. And so, yeah, yeah, look, he will. But sometimes when he says no, we're still going, well, is God going to answer? I'm still waiting for an answer. When he has clearly said no. And so we need to look and see and look and go, okay, God, have you answered? So I've got a what if question for you. And it's a big question. What if there was more to prayer than the preoccupation of our needs and our wants? What if there was more to prayer? It was this thing that was bigger than our needs and our wants. Because we get preoccupied with our needs and our wants when it comes to praying. And we're like, well, what are you praying for? Well, we pray for our needs and we pray for our wants. And what else are you praying? I'm praying for some of their needs and some of their wants. And well, what else are you praying? It's pretty much needs and wants. What if there was more to prayer than praying for our needs and our wants? Did Jesus, the one who knew God the most, prayed the most, do you really think that what Jesus was doing with all that prayer time was just keep asking God for needs and wants? Or do you think there was more to it? See, what if when it came to prayer, what if prayer was more than just seeking a handout from God? What if prayer was more than that? What if prayer was about seeking the heart of God? What if prayer was more about seeking to hold God's hand than looking for a handout from God? What if there were more to prayer than just being preoccupied with our needs and our wants? We're going to be in the book of Matthew this morning. We're going to be in chapter 6. So we're going to look at a verse that we've not looked at yet. And we're going to be looking at some verses that we looked at last week as well. And so Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 6. And I'm just going to kind of break this verse down into chewable bites. And so it starts out with, when you pray, but when you pray. See, there's this assumption that Jesus had about his disciples that they're going to be praying. And so he tells them, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Now, this isn't exclusive. This isn't the only way that you can pray is absolutely by yourself. Don't ever do prayer any other way. But they already had the part down about praying with others and praying in groups and coming together and doing that kind of prayer life. And so now he's trying to teach them there's another aspect to praying. And there's an aspect to praying where you're going to go away by yourself. And then when you go away by yourself, there's something he wants us to do. And he says, shut the door behind you. That when you pray, go away, get away by yourself and shut the door behind you. Don't like leave it a little bit open so people can walk by and go, oh, leave him alone because he's praying. Don't make it this showy thing. Don't make it to where there's other people can see. Don't leave room for there to be a distraction for you to hear. But shut the door behind you so that you can be completely focused on your prayer time with your Heavenly Father. And then he says, and pray to your Father in private. Capital F, Father, talking about your Heavenly Father. And pray to your Father in private. It's not about your eloquence. It's not about how well you're doing. It's not about what other people are hearing. But you in your private prayer time with God. So this is his instruction. This is what we're supposed to do. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. And then there's one last part of this verse. And this last part of this verse, I think if you've never thought about memorizing scripture, I think when you get to this last part of this verse, you're going to be going, I think I might like to memorize scripture. You might be somebody go, yeah, I really don't mark things in my Bible and never really remember where they're at. You might want to be making a note and going, I want to remember that verse. There's that verse out. Remember that verse? And you're going to go, I want this. And so what is that final piece? That final piece is this. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Then your Father who sees everything will, okay, so wait, what, tell me what do I have to do? Okay, so when you pray, I got to get away by myself. I've got to close the door behind me. And I've got to pray to my Father in private. And when I do that, your Father who sees everything will reward you. I think that no matter where you've been at in your prayer life, you feel a little more motivated right now to pray than probably you've ever felt before. Because you're like, oh, wait, okay, if I do these things, my heavenly, he's going to reward me? This is awesome. This is great. Why haven't you shot this verse earlier? Because we look at it, we go, we like this. Well, I've got a thought about what I really believe God's reward is, and I'm going to share that thought with you. But before I do, I want to share with you what I also believe that reward is not. So I want to start there with what the reward is not. I don't believe that the reward is, so whatever you ask for, he's going to reward you with that because you followed these instructions and you followed this model and you said, okay, I did it. I'm going to pray. I'm getting away by myself. I shut the door. I'm praying in private. And so the reward is not that you're just going to get whatever it is that you ask for. The reward is not that you're going to gain health back that you've lost and that you're fretting about. The reward is not that, okay, since you did this and followed this, now I'm going to bless you with some wealth and just give this to you because you followed. That, I just don't believe that's the reward. But I do believe there is a reward. I believe that there is this reward that God gives, and I believe it's a reward that he gives across the table to anyone who begins to pray in the way that Jesus was teaching us to pray. And God's reward for people who pray is peace. I believe that's his reward. That we get the peace of God in our life. When we fully embrace prayer for what prayer is meant to be, we receive peace from God. And I don't know if that really would describe you in your prayer life or if you have to look and observe this in some other people, but I've seen this, and what I've seen and what I've observed, I've observed that there are people that they might come to me and say, hey, will you pray for me? Will you pray for this? And I will if they ask me, and I do. Usually I even pray with them right there on the spot, but I will. I'll pray with them. But many times when people seek prayer like that, they don't walk away just feeling all of this peace, the reward. But then there's people that they go through life and life is really difficult for them. And it's very challenging for them. And as they pray like this and they seek out God through this. That they pray and they pray and they seek out God. And even though their circumstances haven't changed or haven't changed yet, whichever way it's going to be, there are some people that they just begin to experience the peace of God no matter which way the circumstance goes. You see, those people, I think, are the people that are experiencing God's reward, and his reward is his peace. And I do believe that God rewards us. But the reward isn't always a circumstance the way that we would define it as being favorable. So I want us to get back into this prayer model that Jesus laid out and that he outlined for us. This is how we should pray. And as we look at this, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. We've unpacked a little bit of this last week. We're going to pack a little bit more today. And then next week when we meet again, we're going to get to the final part of it. But I want to read all of it together today. Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to get through those pieces today. And then the part for next week. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, Jesus wasn't teaching what to pray. Remember what the disciples asked him? Lord, teach us to pray. Their teach us to pray wasn't so much about what should we pray? Give us this manuscript that we would follow. But it was about giving us a model so we would know how to pray. That it's about this how that we should go about praying. And so when you look at this Lord's Prayer, don't look at this and go, manuscript, okay, say it like that, do it like that, and I just need to repeat that particular thing. That the like, when we look at this, needs to be, okay, does it include this aspect? Does it include this aspect? Does it include, these are the how we should pray, and these are the things that we should be including. So I want to share three things that prayer should when it comes to our lives and the way that we would pray. And so prayer should declare God's greatness. It's one of the things of prayer. That last week we unpacked this idea of, our Father in heaven, the hour. We looked at that. And then as we continue to look at this model prayer that Jesus gave us, that he went on and he says, may your name be kept holy. That we would declare God's greatness with our prayer life. That we would declare that you are the great one, you are the mighty one, you are the holy one. You are set apart. There is no one like you. You are sacred and you are sovereign. That's who you are. And so Jesus, that's what he wants us to know. He says, okay, understand that he's your Father. And now let's make sure we keep our focus on that our Father, he's our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father is God. May your name be kept holy, that our prayer time, we should be declaring God's greatness. A second thing, prayer should surrender your will. That it should surrender your will. And this is where we look at that model, and he says, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That may your kingdom come, may your rule, may your reign, may your authority, may it come, and may it come here on earth as it is in heaven. And he's teaching us to pray this so that we would surrender our will to what God's will is. God, that you have a will, and you have something that you desire for it to take place. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. See, in heaven it's going to happen. But on earth, this is this thing that we need to be praying for. And for many of us, we have a different prayer model. That for many of us, that the way that we end up praying, we end up praying a prayer more like, we pray, may my kingdom come. May my will be done in heaven as it is here on earth. And you go, No, I don't think I've ever prayed that prayer. Well, you probably have never prayed those words. But sometimes we pray a prayer just like that. Would we just begin to dish out to God, here's all the things that you need to do. This is when you need to have them done by. And I'm just waiting for you to come through. That when we're praying like that, and when we're praying, we're not willing to accept anything other than a yes for what it is that we want, we desire, what we see is best, then that's us just praying, may my kingdom come. That we sometimes make our prayer life more about our little kingdom than God's great kingdom. And so we need to get to this place where we begin to learn and know and understand how is it that we need to be praying. Let me share a thought with you that is a... I think it's going to be a pretty big thought. I think that if you can really wrestle with this thing and grasp this, I think it's going to be an epiphany for many of us here. That when I share this, it might be something that you go, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe you might even be going, I don't even agree with that. But I think when you wrestle with it and you begin to see and understand, I think you're going to get to a place where you go, okay, I do agree with that and I do see that. And that makes so much more sense. And this is the thought. God is always sovereign, but he isn't always in control. That God is always sovereign. He is supreme. He is the one who can never be defeated. He if anybody who challenges him will always lose. He is sovereign. God is always, always, always sovereign. But he isn't always in control. I'm not saying that he doesn't have the ability to always be in control. But what I am saying is he isn't always in control. And if God were always in control, then sin would never happen. Because sin is not something that God wants. But because God has given us free will, that we get to choose, he's handed control back to us. That every single one of us, that we're in control of whether or not we're going to end up in heaven for all of eternity, or whether we're going to be damned to hell for all of eternity. Because he has put us in control, and that we choose what we're going to believe and what we're going to follow. We have been placed in control. And so God is always sovereign, but he isn't always in control. When you begin to wrestle with and think through why do bad things happen to good people? And if you're convinced that God is always in control, you will never have a good answer for why do bad things happen to good people. But when you understand that God is always sovereign, but he isn't always in control, and that he's relinquished and said, I'm gonna let you have some control. Doesn't necessarily tell us we're going to have all control, but he lets us have some control. That we begin to understand, okay, well, the reason that bad things happen to good people is because God isn't the puppet master. He's not controlling everybody and everything that happens. That's why. And so when we look at what prayer should, that prayer should surrender our will to our heavenly Father. That we should be at this place that we would begin to grow and go, I know that I don't always want what is best for me or even for others, so I need to surrender my will to what God's will is, because that's what's going to be best. When we look at this prayer model that Jesus gives the disciples, that 40% of this prayer model, the first 40%, when we look at it, it's about teaching us to recognize who God is. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That 40% of this prayer is about who God is and about what God would desire to happen here on earth, and us trying to align ourselves with it. And then we have 60% of the prayer, and that's what we're going to unpack next week. The last 60% of this prayer is teaching us to ask God for our daily provision, asking God to forgive us and asking God to rescue, to keep us from being tempted and falling into temptation, rescue us from the evil one who is tempting us. So it's about this all of us surrendering our will to God. That when you begin to look and understand what our life's purpose is, and this is what it is, our life's purpose is to glorify God. That's why we've been given life. What's your purpose? Your purpose is to glorify God. And so when we begin to understand this prayer model that Jesus gave us, when we begin to understand, okay, so I'm supposed to be praying, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. We're supposed to be praying, hey, will you give me this food-sustained life so that I can keep on going? God, will you forgive me of my sins, and will you rescue me from the evil one who tempts me? All of this prayer is all focused back to that we would take our lives and we would live our lives to bring glory to God, that we would pray for that. Third thing, prayer should acknowledge your dependence. That prayer should acknowledge your dependence on God. That surrendering your will is when you invite God to trump your will. That for most of us, we tend to live our lives with looking at it from this aspect of, hey, I'm the king of hearts, or ladies, you're the queen of hearts. You know, we tend to look at like, hey, I'm the queen or I'm the king of my heart. And we all chase what we want, what we crave, and what we desire. And some of those things that we chase and that we crave and that we desire, they are outside of God's best. They are outside of the will of God. And when we surrender our will and we acknowledge our dependence on Him, God, we're dependent on You, because if we go down our path, we might mess things up. We want to make sure we're following Your path. And when we do, we allow God to trump, to bring His ace of spades and go, okay, I'm going to trump you. And we would submit to that. Here's another way to let me just kind of visualize this for us. Some of you guys are going to be sadly disappointed because I'm not going to hula. But I want you to look at this. That Jesus is teaching us in this model of how to pray. He's teaching us to pray in God's will. That God's got this defined understanding of what His will is and what is best. And that we would be people that we would step in, that we would surrender, we would submit to God's will and God's best for life. But many times, the way that we end up praying is as we're out here, we're outside of the will of God, and we see something that we crave, that we desire. We even see something we think, hey, this is going to be what's best. And so we pray, we ask God, we beg God, we plead with God. We get mad at God when we feel like the answer is anything but a solid yes. When we're asking for stuff that's out here and God's not coming through. But when we step in here, we step into God's will. And that our prayer life, that it acknowledges our dependence on God. God, I'm depending on You for what's best for my life, because if I depend on me on what's best for my life, I'm not going to make the best choices. But I'm going to depend on You for what's best for my life. And so I want to submit and surrender my control that You've given to me, and I want to give it right back to You, God. And I want to live inside Your will for me. And that we would learn in our prayer life, and that we would grow in our prayer life. That prayer, it's not about securing control. It's about surrendering it. It's about giving control right back to the One who said, I'm going to let You have control. And when we submit and surrender and give control back to Him, we begin to live our lives inside of God's will, of what is best for our life. But you know, we find it hard. That's one of the most difficult things for us to do, is surrender our control, especially through our prayer life. It's so hard to surrender control back to God. Because what we do within our lives is we just rely on our own abilities. We rely on our own resources. Well, I have this ability, or I can just make this thing happen. I don't even need to pray about it because I can just make it happen. So we don't confront, we don't look, and we don't pray, we don't seek. And so it's difficult for us to surrender control when we look and go, hey, I've got the abilities, I've got the resources. When we look at our lives and we go, hey, you know what? We think we know better. We don't need to seek the heart of God and know what God would want. We know what's going to be best, and so this is what's best, and we're just going to do it. And so it's hard to surrender control when we become convinced that we know what is best. This is the one that trips up more people than anybody, is that we think we're the exception. That we know what God's word says, and we know what His standards are, and we know that this very thing that we want and we crave goes directly against that, but we convince ourselves that standard's for most people, but I'm the exception, and that one really doesn't apply to me. And when we get to this place, we're going, you know what? I just want to seize control over my life instead of surrendering control of my life. And we don't acknowledge that we depend on Him. Instead, we acknowledge, I'm just going to depend on me. And when we get to this place, we will make some of the most destructive choices of our lives. It's why when we pray, that we would get to this place in our prayer life where we would surrender our will and we would acknowledge our dependence on Him. This is the last thought I want to leave you with. This God's will isn't a destination, but a journey. That we never get to this place where we just arrive while we're still here on earth. Because it's not a destination, it is a journey. And as we go through life, that we would seek to keep stepping into what God's will. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. That we would be doing this. Pray with me. God, you certainly know our hearts, and you know where we get tempted to just rely on ourselves, to rely on the resources, to rely on our own understanding. God, I pray that you'd help us to be humble enough that we wouldn't be seizing control, instead that we would be surrendering it. And as we surrender that control, God, that we would seek what you know to be best instead of what we think to be best. And I pray that you would reveal that to us as we seek to step into and stay into your will. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.